Welcome to conversation number two with your hosts, Nicholas
and Josh.
Today we're going to talk about two topics like we did last time. Today's topics will include E3 for all the gamers out there, specifically the Xbox and Bethesda show this year. And topic two,
fatherhood.
Yep.
And for all the fathers out there,
Father's Day is coming up.
Yeah, Father's Day is June 20th. And today is June 13th, is that right?
13th, 14th, 13th.
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 Yep.
Yep, so it's coming up, and we've got things to discuss.
That we do.
So, Josh, why don't you start us off with some
okay.
E3.
Yeah. So, E3, I'm not an Xbox guy, right? Like, I've played on the Xbox a lot with you. You own an Xbox. I have watched the Xbox show, like, during the E3 season every year for probably the past, like, what? Because we always do
three
it
or four years.
Three, more than that, probably.
Think so?
Yeah.
4 or 5 years?
Maybe wow. Even longer. I don't know. It's been a long time. Like, when we first became friends, that was, like, 7 years ago.
Oh, my word.
And I feel like we've watched it every year since
then. I think we missed 1 year.
Did we?
I think so.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's disappointing.
That's okay.
That's all right. We're still friends.
We just finished watching the show, and so we'll see some first impressions. I took notes on everything that they revealed or showed.
Yeah, and I want to say right away that we don't have the inside scoop to any of this, so this is just
two blokes and their opinions.
Yeah, like we know nothing other than what they showed off at E3.
Yep.
So I think my overall reaction was positive.
All right. How about this?
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how pleased are you with the show? In and of itself.
Well, taking into account that I'm not an Xbox guy, right? Like, I'm sure Xbox fans had a different kind of reaction than I did. I would say out of a like scale between 1 and 10, probably 6.
All right.
Yeah, which Wonderful. isn't negative, you know? Like, above 5 is good.
Yeah, above 5 is good. You're still failing if you're in school with a 60%.
No, that is not failing.
I'm pretty sure D minus is failing.
It's as close as you can get.
Yeah, that's failing.
You feel like a failure.
You do feel like a failure if you get a D minus on something. I think now I am an Xbox guy. I've been playing on Xbox for many, many years, ever since the first Xbox came out. And I would give the show a 5 out of 10, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I'm excited about some of the games, and we're going to discuss that. But years past, there's been so much energy, and I think part of it was that the show was virtual. There wasn't a crowd getting excited.
True.
It was just, you know, trailer after trailer, and there was minimal discussion, too, in between the shows. Sometimes they would have, like, Keanu Reeves come out.
Yeah.
Or, you know, some silly interview or something in between the showcases. But, no, it was just, like, kind of trailer after trailer. So, rating the show, you know, not rating the games necessarily that they showed, but the show in of itself, I would say it was probably a 5 out of 10.
Okay, well, I didn't even think about it like that. I was thinking of the games. The actual show part was probably lower than a 6.
Okay.
But with the games in mind, probably a 6.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought some of them looked pretty fun, even games that I hadn't seen before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were some fun ones that they went over.
Yep. I always appreciate gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
If they can show off gameplay, that's a good thing. Because with the trailer, you watch the trailer, the trailer looks cool, but you don't really get to experience what the game is like.
Yeah.
So they showed off some gameplay for some games, but not as much as I would have hoped.
Yeah. So, shall we go through the list?
Yeah.
All right. So, in order of the shows and how they were announced, or not announced, I guess, you know, some of them were announced, but not all of them, in the order that it was revealed in the show.
Do we want to just go one at a time?
We'll go one at a time.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll give some feedback on what we thought.
Sure.
If we remember what it was, I only got the titles here.
Right.
So, they opened. Now, I thought this was interesting. I'm used to seeing Phil Spencer first.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he wasn't first. He was at the end.
Mm-hmm. They had
Todd Howard. Yeah, Todd Howard opened the show this year. So that was kind of, I'm sure, a special thing for him to open the Xbox show.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I was really excited to see Todd Howard because I thought, like, okay, there's going to be some really good Bethesda material.
Yep.
And I was a little bit let down with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Nick, our first game that Todd Howard revealed?
The first game was Starfield. We got our first teaser trailer. He called it a Starfield.
Right.
About 2 minutes. First impressions. Yeah. Didn't really get to see much. I mean, it was a teaser trailer for a game that we already knew was coming out.
Yeah. And there was nothing super special about it. It was an astronaut.
Mm-hmm.
And a spaceship.
And a planet, yep.
And a planet.
And some controls.
Right.
So,
and that's all predictable, yeah. I think.
Mm-hmm. Now, did he mention that it's an RPG?
I don't think so.
Do we know what kind of game it's going to be?
Maybe someone said it was going to be an RPG, but you couldn't tell by the video. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I guess we'll have to wait and see. It's coming out next November, is what the release date was.
Yeah, not November 2021, mm-hmm. November 2020.
Yeah, two. Correct. Yeah. So they have a year left, a year and a half, for us to see what this game is about. So
yeah, which is really tough because they announced the game officially like 2019.
I thought you were gonna say 20 years ago.
20 years ago. It said it was 25 years in the making,
mm-hmm.
but that might just mean they. You know,
that's when the company started 25 years ago.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they announced it, I think, in like 2018 or 2019.
All right.
So now in 2021, it's like, oh, yep. Another year and a half.
Yeah.
It's kind of...
They didn't really mention the new Elder Scrolls game at all.
No.
The only hint of it is that they said, like, we're working on the games you know about.
Yeah.
But yeah, we didn't see anything about that.
Oh, so disappointing.
Yeah. So after Starfield, are we done with that one?
Yeah.
After Starfield, went on to a new game. It's a sequel for a game I've never heard of, Stalker 2.
Stalker 2.
Yep.
I think I heard about Stalker for the first time when mm-hmm. I think they talked about Stalker 2 last summer a little bit.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, it seemed like a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
Russian survival horror game.
Yeah, I don't really know what it's about.
I was getting really strong Metro vibes. It seems like, radioactive wasteland. There's monsters.
Right.
You got a gun.
Wasn't the subtitle something with Chernobyl, or was that a different game?
Oh, no, that was that one, I think.
That was that one?
Yeah. Not sure what that meant.
I'm not sure.
Guess we'll see.
Do you think you'll play that game?
I don't know.
I think
a lot of the games that they talked about was going to be like day one available on Game Pass, which I think is pretty cool. So possibly it didn't look bad necessarily. It was a weird trailer because it was like sitting at a campfire, a bunch of guys talking, and I had no idea what they were talking about. And then you'd see monsters every once in a while.
Right.
So I don't really know much about that.
And they were talking in probably Russian, mm-hmm. right? So like you're reading the subtitles and you just kind of feel lost a little bit.
Yeah, very, very much so. Yeah. So the next game after that, I'm kind of excited about, a four-player co-op game called Back for Blood by the makers of Left 4 Dead. Have you ever played the Left 4 Dead games?
Never did.
They were fun.
Those were Xbox exclusives, right?
Were they?
I believe so.
Okay.
So I never had a chance.
No, they're fun. Thousands and thousands of zombies, and you got four characters that are unique, and you try not to die. So, yeah, Back 4 Blood seemed fun.
Yeah.
Little bit of the gameplay they showed seemed like very, very similar to Left 4 Dead. So I'm curious to see if it's even in the same universe as Left 4 Dead, but you're just playing as different characters. I'm not sure. We'll see. Maybe they would have named it Left 4 Dead 3 if that was the case. So I'm not sure what they're doing. But.
Yeah.
Then let's see. The game after that, Contraband.
Oh, yeah.
That was a weird trailer.
Everything was like still,
mm-hmm.
right? And the camera just kind of panned through things.
Yep. And didn't get a clue about what that's going to be about. At all.
Other than Contraband.
Yeah, right? So I don't even know what to say about that game.
I don't know.
I mean, the trailer was cool. The graphics in the trailer looked nice. It was like a cinematic trailer. So who knows what the game's going to be like?
I don't know. We'll have to find out more.
Yep. After Contraband, we went over to Sea of Thieves, which is an older game now. But I guess a new expansion has been announced. Introducing
Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yep, and Captain
other
Jack
characters
Sparrow.
From Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that was the first game in the show for me that actually kind of got me a little excited.
Yeah.
Not that I'll ever play Sea of Thieves, mm-hmm. but growing up, I liked the Pirates movies.
Yeah.
So I knew that if I was a kid watching that, I would be like, I have to play this.
Yeah. Game. Yep, absolutely. No, I thought that was very funny. I don't think it's him doing the voice acting.
It sounded exactly like
you think so?
Yeah.
You think it was him?
I think it's him.
Okay. I was going to say the movements were like totally Captain Jack, but...
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, unless it's another person who sounds exactly like him, I think it's him.
Yeah. So, I've only played a couple minutes of the Sea of Thieves game. It was fun. I didn't dislike it. I've heard people just spend hours and hours and hours and hours playing that game because it's such a big game.
Hmm.
And I think when I had played it, it might have been in beta or something. I don't know if there was a story at that time. I think it was literally just exploring, you know, going around killing skeletons with your sword and whatnot. So that's cool. New expansion or whatever, DLC.
Yeah, doesn't that seem to be more of a common thing nowadays where a game will come out and it's really just like exploring the world and finding stuff, and then they'll throw in a story later?
Yeah.
Like I know there have been multiple games like that, including Ark
2. Was like that, yeah.
Yeah, and I know there are other games that have done the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when I first played Ark, that was in, I can't remember what they called it, it was like a preview game. So it was cheap, it was like $10, and you got to play the game, but it wasn't done yet. It, you know, some would argue it's still not done.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could spend hours in that game too. But yeah, then I haven't played it, but they did release a couple DLC packs with a story.
Even
the first one,
Ark 2?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh. The first game has it. So, huh. Yeah, I haven't played them. But yeah. After Contraband, I was thinking of Captain Jack. Yakima? No, Yakuza.
Yakima.
I typed that wrong. It's not Yakima. It is Yakuza.
Yakuza.
Yakuza. Like a dragon. I don't have a thing to say about that game.
I know some people really love those games.
Yeah? Is it just a fighting game?
I don't know for sure.
I don't know either.
I think it is, but it's not like a... Not like a fighting game, like
mm-hmm.
1v1.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I've never played it.
Yeah, I've never played it either. There's like 30 of them. They're all on Game Pass. And I've not played any of them. So for the Yakuza fans out there, or the Yakima fans out there, I guess it's not a new game, right? It's like an expansion too, a DLC that's coming out. That's another thing too about the show is they were announcing a lot of old games getting new content, which is okay, but... E3, in my mind, is like where they're announcing these new games.
Yeah. Even the Bethesda stuff, probably half of the content they revealed
mm-hmm.
was add-ons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or maybe even more. The only new thing they talked about was Starfield.
Yep.
And then at the end, they talked about a game we haven't mentioned yet.
Yep.
I can't even remember. What is the name of that game?
The game that we haven't mentioned yet.
Yeah,
we're gonna wait until the end.
So they mentioned one other game, and then the other three, I believe they talked.
There
about.
Was Fallout 76,
Fallout 76, Elder Scrolls Online,
mm-hmm.
and
the other one.
Yeah, what was the other one?
I don't remember. Maybe it was just those two.
Maybe, I swore there was another one, but we'll get to it.
Yeah,
and then we'll get to it.
Yeah, so a lot of like DLC, which again, I'm okay with DLC, but. Yeah, it's just weird. It's just interesting.
Yes.
It's different than how it's been in years past. The next game was kind of cool. A little stressful. Battlefield 2042. They had a gameplay reveal. Or maybe they showed more gameplay. Lots of tornadoes and explosions and sci-fi ships and whatnot.
Yeah, sci-fi, but not too sci-fi.
Not too sci-fi. Just 2042. It's
yeah.
like... Yeah, a couple decades.
Right.
You know,
it's what we'll be seeing at that point, I'm 21 sure.
21 years from now.
Lots of tornadoes.
Lots of tornadoes, yes.
Yeah, you thought
lots
COVID was bad? Look out.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, real bad. So, yeah, the Battlefield games are fun. They didn't show really anything of a campaign.
No.
I don't think people go to the Battlefield games for a campaign, though, to be fair. I think it's mostly known for its multiplayer. Yeah.
Yep. I know the one thing that happened in the trailer that you guys, you and your wife, got very excited about was like a grappling hook of some kind.
Yeah, that was so interesting. And you know what?
It was like over a really far distance.
It was. And that's going to completely change how people play that game.
Yeah.
Having that ability.
Right.
And I'm assuming it's not going to be on every single person's character. I'm sure it's like one piece of equipment that you get. But yeah.
Right. Isn't it funny how those first-person shooters that were war-themed, it used to be like try to get as realistic to war as you can. And now it's like, okay, we've done that. Now we have to like take it and like advance it in crazy ways.
A lot of games, like Call of Duty has done that. Battlefield has done that. Is that it? I mean, I feel like there's other games a couple. Yes, I know what you mean. So after Battlefield, 12 minutes. Interesting game. Looks like a crime scene game. I don't know.
It
had some pretty famous names, though. Daisy Ridley.
Daisy Ridley and Willem Dafoe.
Now, wasn't he the Green Goblin?
He was, yeah. All right,
see, that's what I know him for.
Uh-huh. And then
another guy.
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
I can't think of his name either.
He.
I want to say Jon Favreau. It's not Jon Favreau.
It's not. No, he. Let's see. He played like Charles Xavier.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know Charles Xavier?
No, who's that?
Professor X. Like from X-Men, the guy in the wheelchair?
That's that guy?
The bald guy. Yeah, but not the older one. That was Patrick Stewart. Yeah. The newer one is. I don't remember his name.
I don't either. But that guy.
I'm sure all of the listeners are going to be screaming right now.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's this guy. You stupid. I promise you we're not stupid. We just blank.
Yeah, blank. It happens when you get old.
Yep.
Yep. So, yeah, 12 minutes. I don't really know much about that game.
It'll take 12 minutes to finish?
Maybe it'll be a very short game.
A $70 game?
It took 12 years to make. You're going to beat it in 12 minutes. But yeah, there was like, I don't know if we were seeing gameplay or
I feel like
know.
We were.
Yeah.
It was like this weird top down camera all in one room.
It was all in one room. Yeah.
Yeah. And like you saw people like coming in and going out and
I don't know. I don't know what to think about it. Yeah. So we'll see. There's definitely some interesting games coming out. So for true Xbox fans, the next game was pretty exciting. Psychonauts 2. Do you know anything about the Psychonauts series?
I mean, I've seen a little bit of gameplay. I've seen a trailer or two, but nope.
So I got my first Xbox when it came out. I don't even know how many years ago that was. 20? I think it was 2001.
The original Xbox?
I think so.
Yeah.
Right? So
2001. They're celebrating their 20th anniversary.
Yeah, right. So 2001, Psychonauts was on the original Xbox. And I believe we had it. My brother, who is 5 years older than me, played it and liked it. I don't remember playing it, but that's what I remember it from. So the Xbox 360 came and went, no Psychonauts. The Xbox One came and went, no Psychonauts. And they're bringing it back with a sequel.
Is it something that everyone was eagerly waiting for?
I think they have their own base of fans.
Yeah.
I don't think everybody is crazy for it, but I'm not sure. You know, I'm not positive. Let us know. Send us an email at an email address we don't have yet. Right. I don't know. Contact us some way. Send us a carrier
picture. Send us a picture of your Psychonauts shrine.
There you go. Yep.
That no one knows about that you have like stored away in your closet somewhere.
Psychonauts shrine.
Like
it. All right. So after that game, they went on to, again, DLC, Fallout 76 Steel Rain. I haven't played it.
Yeah, I just heard when it came out how bad it was.
Yeah.
There was like nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I just stayed away from it. And then apparently it's gotten better over the years as they've revealed more content, released more content.
Yeah.
But I've just never been into it, really. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's a new expansion. Looks like there's some sort of campaign in there.
Yeah, there was a second one that they revealed too, because I remember it went right from that into another one, and I didn't know that it was Fallout still, but it was.
You're right.
And I don't remember what that was called.
I think the second one might have been Steel Rain. And I don't remember what the first one was. I'm not sure, but you're right. There were two that they talked about.
I think the first one was Steel Rain, because it said Steel Rain, and then it went into this other thing, and I was like, oh, that's another Fallout.
Yeah.
Something.
All right, cool. So, yeah, they talked about that. Let's see. And then Elder Scrolls, a new online, they called it Expedition. I haven't played that game either, so I'm not sure what that is.
I have played it a little bit years ago, but that was when it first came out and there wasn't a ton of content yet.
I'm seeing a theme there.
What?
I hope Starfield's not like this.
Where there's nothing.
there's nothing to do.
Yeah, I mean, that was the complaint about Battlefront back in the day. You remember that?
Like Star Wars Battlefront?
Yeah, Star Wars Battlefront. Where, like, there just wasn't as much. Nope. I think it was for Battlefront 2, wasn't it? And then they just brought out, like, a bunch of stuff after.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. Or maybe it was even the first game. Anyways, back to the games from E3. I really hope that doesn't turn into the way games are released. Like, hey, we'll just get you the game, and you can't do anything really. Over time, you'll be able to. And then usually, like, a season pass will cost just as much as a game does.
Yep.
So you're
And
you're
that's really where a lot of the content is now.
I know. You're buying one game for the price of two. Mm-hmm. And I'm not into that.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But, yeah, I mean, the Elder Scrolls Online, apparently right now they're going through, like, an Oblivion story. So there's, like, Gates of Oblivion and stuff. So I'm a big fan of that, having played Elder Scrolls Oblivion. But I've never played any of the expansions, so I don't really know what that's like.
How is the gameplay of the game?
This was years ago when I first played it, maybe like 2016 or 2017. It was fun. I guess, just so used to like Skyrim or Oblivion that it felt a little... It was more MMO feel, but it was still fun.
All right, cool. After Elder Scrolls, they went into a really, really silly game, Party Animals. Again, what in the world was this?
I love that, though.
It was cute, kind of. It was a little creepy.
Yeah.
There was all these animals. They were very wiggly, and they were trying to kill each other.
They were.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the kind of game that you could just sit down and play with some friends and have a lot of
fun. It does seem like a couch party game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. So, I don't know if it's like not a survival game, but like trying to be the last one standing, or I don't know. They didn't really talk. They showed a little gameplay, but they didn't really talk about how the game is going to be played.
I'm kind of a fan of those quirky games.
Mm-hmm.
And that one seems pretty quirky.
Yeah, it does seem pretty quirky. I can see myself playing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see, the next game, Hades.
Hades.
Do you remember that one?
I don't. That was the... remember, it was more of an anime feel. It was like one of those... not camera like from the top, but it was like this weird angle from afar.
Yeah.
Right? So your characters are real small.
Yep.
And you're like running around hitting things.
Yep. I'm going to pass on that one.
I'm going to pass.
Yeah, it was all right. You know, we should have been rating these games as we go on. Well, we'll start now.
Right now?
Yeah. So 1 out of 10, how excited you are?
For Hades?
For, yeah.
One.
Zero.
Zero, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not. All right. Somerville.
Can you remind me what that
was? I don't remember what this was
Somerville.
Either.
Wasn't it the, Somerville. It was creepy, I think.
Was it the cartoony one? There's like a guy. I think that it was the one where it was like the dude and his wife and kid on the couch.
Yeah.
Is that Somerville?
Yeah. I think that was it.
And then you saw them like running away from things.
Right. It kind of reminded me of A Quiet Place.
Mm-hmm. I had the same feeling.
Yeah,
a quiet place.
Family just trying to survive. Mm-hmm. So I would say on a scale 1 to 10, probably 6.
All right. Yeah, I'd go with a 6 too. 5 or 6 for that. Looking forward to it. I'm not sure if I'll play it ever. But
well, the cool thing
about
these games coming to Game Pass is you can just play it if you want to.
You can. Yep.
You don't have to consider like, oh, I got to go buy the game or do I not want to buy the game? But you just...
I think once we get through this list, we should talk about Game Pass for a minute.
Okay.
Because Game Pass is really changing the way people play games.
Yes.
So after Somerville, big title, Halo Infinite. We got to see a little. I'm thinking it was like of the campaign. It was kind of like a cinematic trailer a bit. You got to see Master Chief talk to a new AI. Now, I'm going to give you guys a spoiler alert, alright? If you haven't played Halo 5. Now, do you think you'll ever play it?
No.
Alright, so I can tell you what happens. So Halo 5, now if you remember, we played through Halo 4, I think. Maybe not even Halo 4.
Was it out when the Master Chief Collection came out?
Yes. Then we probably
was it a co-op game?
Yep.
Then yeah.
Only Halo 5 was not co-op. Yeah, so at the end of Halo 4, it's when Cortana basically sacrifices herself for Master Chief to save him from the Didact. Like this, you know, alien forerunner dude. Halo 5 is Master Chief and his squad of three Spartans are trying to go find Cortana, and Locke, another Spartan, and his team, with Nathan Fillion as one of them, is trying to stop Master Chief. And it's been a few years since I've played it, but at the end of Halo 5, Cortana, you find her, and she's on this Forerunner planet, and her rabency, like, you know, the AI disease that was killing her, the rabency was healed because this planet basically saved her. And she was immortal, and she gathered all, it seemed like, all the AI in the universe, or the galaxy, and turned them against the humans.
Wow.
Yeah. And now, what we saw today from Halo Infinite is Master Chief with the new AI. And I know Cortana's still out there. So I don't know how I feel about this AI.
So do you think Cortana is the villain of this next game?
I don't know. The way that Halo 5 ended, yes. From what I've seen so far of Halo Infinite, I don't know. But we'll see. So I'm pretty excited about that. I think for Halo, I'm more excited about the campaign than I am multiplayer. Multiplayer is, a lot of people love it, and it's fun. But I think I like the campaign more for Halo. They did show a little bit of the multiplayer. Looks cool. Also has a grappling hook. I saw you. They grabbed onto like that. The Falcon, which is that air vehicle, and like they hijacked that. And there's a lot of like catching guns midair and whatnot. I'm not really sure if that was like just some cool footage or if that's going to be a huge part of the game. I don't know. It's weird though. Mm-hmm. I'm not used to that.
Yeah, so scale of 1 to 10.
I think out of everything I saw today, I'm most excited about that game, Halo Infinite. Now that was, I can't remember, did they have a release date for that? Is that this year?
Yeah, that's October, I think.
This year, October?
Yeah. It was supposed to be a launch game.
That.
Keep that in mind.
It was supposed to be a launch game. Yeah.
So, October is relatively soon.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
I would say for me, I would give it probably like a 7.
Yeah.
Just because the reason I liked playing the Halo games was because you and I could play co-op.
Yep.
But if you can't do that, then I'm not as interested.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good co-op games. I would say an 8 or 9. Pretty excited about that one. Diablo 2 Remastered. I've never played those games.
Me either.
Yeah, there's a lot of these games I'm like, I don't know. It was there. They talked about it.
Well, I guess that's the thing about E3 is some of the games we're not into, other people would be very into.
Yeah.
You know, and so I know some people love Diablo. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, they're remastering the second one.
I'll give that one a 3.
All right. Yeah. I'll give it a 2, just because it's Diablo 2.
Diablo 2.
Yeah. All right, cool. This next one I was excited about. A Plague Tale Requiem. So, you don't know anything about the Plague Tale.
No.
It was a Game Pass game. I downloaded it, and I thought it was going to be like one of those, you beat it in one sitting, like a really short game, because that's how the beginning kind of felt. It's like just 3 or 4 hours, you're done with it. It was a decently long game, and I was pleasantly surprised by the story and the gameplay. It's what it sounds like. It's a plague of rats, and you gotta not die. And there's a lot of weird things that happen. So yeah, it was pretty cool. So I'm excited. I think I will play that one. I would give that a 7. I think. Pretty excited about that one.
I'll give it, just because you're so excited about it, I'll give it a 5.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sure thing.
Fine. All right. Moving on to Far Cry 6.
All right.
I am stoked about the villain in this game, whatever his name is.
Yeah. Well, Are you talking about the actor's name mm-hmm. or the villain's name?
Mm-hmm. Both.
I feel like the villain's name was like Castillo or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Do you know the actor's name?
I
know he was in Breaking Bad. I just
know
Bad.
Him as Gustavo Fring.
From Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was in Breaking Bad, which I haven't seen. He was in The Maze Runner. Heck.
You gotta see it.
Yeah, I know. Maybe one day. He was in The Maze Runner. And he was in Mandalorian.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So, he's a pretty cool guy. I like
he's
him.
He's cool.
So, yeah, I'm excited about Far Cry 6.
I have one thing to say about Far Cry 6. Haven't the other Far Cry games been more in more remote locations?
So Far Cry 1 was on an island. Far Cry 2 was in Africa. Far Cry 3 was on an island again. I really, really liked Far Cry 3. I think that was... It's a little dated now, but I think it was like my favorite. Like there was just nothing like Far Cry 3. Then they had a spin-off, Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, which was like an 80s retro game. I don't even know how to describe it. It was just weird. A lot of people loved that game. Far Cry 4 was in the Himalayas, I believe. And Far Cry 5 was in Montana, I want to say.
That sounds right.
Yep. There was Far Cry Primal, which I have no idea where that takes place. Pangaea, I don't know. And then... Far Cry 6, which is in Mexico? No.
No, I think it's like Cuba or Cuba? Something.
Some other
It's definitely
place.
Like in a Central America yeah. mm-hmm. country. Yeah, because with all the games that you mentioned, I didn't really play any of them except mm-hmm. like a little bit of Far Cry 4. Mm-hmm. And it always seemed like it was in these remote locations where the only people you'd really run into were the bad guys.
The bad guys, yeah.
Yeah, so... From the Far Cry 6, it seemed like it was in a city where, like, not everybody's going to be an enemy, mm-hmm. which is just different.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I have really gotten a lot of enjoyment out of the Far Cry games. And they already announced their season pass yesterday, I believe it was, at their Ubisoft show. And I think they're remastering Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, which I'm super excited
Why
about.
Why not Far Cry 3?
Because Blood Dragon was amazing.
Even
people,
better than Far Cry 3?
People liked Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon.
Really?
The DLC spinoff more than the game.
I can't believe that.
It's incredible. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, so they're remastering that. And then there's like, I don't know if it's 3 DLC packs or what, but you play as the villains from 3, 4, and 5. You play as Voss from 3, Peg and Min from 4, and then Joseph from 5. So okay. I don't know what that's going to be like. I'm sure you're going to be crazy, because yeah. they're kind of crazy people. So, yeah, Far Cry 6. I'm pretty excited about that, too. I'd give that a 7 or 8.
I think I'd give that a 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time a Far Cry game comes out, I think, I want to play that, mm-hmm. and then I never do.
Yeah. Now, those are on PlayStation.
They are, yeah. So I'll have a chance.
Yeah. Let's see, Slime Rancher 2. Now, this is one you haven't ever seen.
I've never heard of that.
Again, this was a game that was on Game Pass. I was like, all right, that looks cute, so I downloaded it. It's so fun. You literally are, like, on this island, and you're running around with this gun that sucks things up and blows things out, and you collect slimes. And then you take them back, and you put them in these, like, little pens. You feed them. They shoot out like gems, and you put the gems in the store for money, and then you can use the money to buy things to like and get a better garden, go get better slimes.
You
it
know,
sounds
I'm
so
sure.
dumb.
I'm
but
sure
it's great.
When you're playing it, it's awesome, but when you describe it, I'm just like, wait, what? Like, how is that fun?
It's a lot of fun. Just the exploration, there's hidden things, and you know, sometimes you gotta. Some of the slimes are like explosive slimes. So you gotta like suck up some of the explosive slimes and then shoot them at a rock to blow the rock up. And there's a secret in it. And some of them are like water slimes to like shoot on a fire. So
would you
fun.
Rank this game in your top 10 of all time?
No.
Top 20?
Yes.
Think so?
Top
okay.
20?
So
sure.
That's a pretty good game then.
I mean, I don't play that many games.
You play a lot of games. What are you talking about?
No, it's true. I don't know.
Okay, how many achievement? What are those called?
The next game.
How many?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
Lots.
It's a stupid high number.
I have lots of achievements.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm at like 200,000 gamer score, which isn't that much compared to a lot of people. But yeah, 200,000. I'm not proud of it.
Compared to a lot of people, I feel like that is a lot.
Yeah, all right.
But compared to some people, mm-hmm. not as much.
Yeah.
Anyways, continue.
Yeah. So the next game I thought was going to be an SSX game.
Oh, the snowboarding?
Shredders. Yep. It's literally people on a snowboard going down a hill.
Are you sure it's not a Ninja Turtle game?
I'm pretty sure it's not a Ninja Turtle game. So if you like the snow, but you don't like getting cold, this is going to be a perfect game for you.
Right. It said it was created by...
Snowboarders?
Well, it didn't say snowboarders. It said, like, by skaters for skaters. But they're...
What?
But that wasn't a skating game. I swear it said by skaters
for
skaters.
Do people call snowboarding skating?
No.
That's odd.
Yeah.
All right.
Well.
Okay. Atomic Heart. This game looked really cool. Kind of dystopian sci-fi... What is it? Punk... steampunk kind of weird game. But then there's like this awkward Japanese music playing in the background that I think completely threw the feel of the game off. Like it looked like it should have been like a horror game almost.
Right. And then it turned into Japanese style.
Yeah, so...
Which, there's nothing wrong with that. You and I don't prefer those kind of games.
Unless it's Earth Defense Force. I'm all over Earth Defense Force.
Yep. We buy into that pretty easily.
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of the like Japanese games are fun to play. They just look so weird. There's another game like 99 Nights, super super Japanese game on the Xbox 360, mm-hmm. but it was fun. You were like, I think there were different characters you could play as, like maybe three of them, and you had a humongous sword, as always in a Japanese game, and you literally would just defeat hordes of monsters.
I like
it. People, you know, it was weird. But see, Atomic Heart, I guess we'll see. I don't know. I'll give it a 6. I'll
give it 4.
Yeah. We'll see. Replaced? Don't remember this one.
Replaced.
I want to say it was like... I can't remember. Maybe it was like that... what was it? It was like kind of like that pixely game. I don't know. 2. Zero.
What
zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a zero. It did not leave an impression on me. Zero. Grounded. Grounded's already out. Might be still in preview. I'm not sure. But there's an update coming out called Shroom and Doom. It's going to include mushrooms and giant spiders.
Yeah. I remember when they first revealed that game last year. And that was one of the games that actually stuck out to me from last year. So I've never played it, but I'm still interested.
Yeah, I played it a little bit, and I got Ark vibes.
It looks like that.
With crafting. Well, you craft an Ark. Yeah, you craft an Ark.
Right.
So very kind of like survival game, but the setting's different. You're not on an island with dinosaurs. You're small in your backyard with bugs.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun. It was fun to play. I think I was trying to climb up a flower and I jumped off and died and then I quit. Huh. Like, that's all I accomplished in my short time on that game. But it was fun.
I'd give that one a 7.
Yeah. All right. I'll give it a 5.
Okay.
It was cool. I'll give it a 6.
Well, okay. I'll keep mine a 7. I was going to change it, but I'm good.
Among Us. An update bringing it to consoles and increasing the lobby size?
Yeah, 15.
Which I've
with
never
three
played
imposters.
It.
Yeah, I feel like we're the only people who have not played this.
Yeah. Wow.
I've heard it's great.
Yeah.
I heard you get with your friends and you know you're accusing each other, you're getting upset with each other, but it's a lot of fun, apparently.
Now, are you talking to them? Or are you typing?
I think you type. I don't think you chat during the game. Mm-hmm. I think what happens is you have these different assignments you have. Like, you have to go to a certain place and do a certain thing. Mm-hmm. And you will know if you're the imposter, right? So you don't have a real assignment. Your assignment is to pretend like you have an assignment, but be killing people. And you don't know who is who, I think. Yeah. And you don't know who just killed you, but you're accusing each other. So you're like typing in like, hey, let's have this meeting and let's talk about who we think it is. And we think it's this guy. And then you just start like getting rid of people.
It sounds like everybody should just move in teams.
Maybe people do, but you have to complete these assignments what too. Everyone has a different job. I think there's some kind of consequence.
Mm.
Like you die. I don't know, maybe you die or you lose or something.
All right.
With that game, I'll give it a higher score than I normally would because I think there's potential for us to play it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it an 8.
All right. I'll give it an 8 too.
Okay.
I'm with you on that one. Next game, we're getting down to the last few already. The next game was Ayudin Chronicle, or maybe Ayudin Chronicles. I don't remember this one either. Zero.
I remember seeing it because they're like, 2021, Ayudin Chronicles, and then 2022, Ayudin something else is going to be released.
Oh, that's right.
And I was just like, oh, interesting way to say that. Mm-hmm. I'm giving you a 0.
Yeah, 0. Thanks, though. How about The Agent?
I don't remember The Agent.
I think I said this. I typed this wrong. The Ascent? Was it The Ascent?
Yeah,
The Ascent.
Or was it The Accent?
The Accent. Oh, maybe it was The Accent.
I don't remember.
I think it was The Ascent. Yeah. And I don't remember what that was about either.
0.
0. I'm sorry, guys.
I feel bad for some of these games.
I know.
Because it's probably not on them, it's on us.
Yeah, now, do you think E3 is like the Super Bowl? Like the best companies, you know, get in, because like everybody's gonna be watching E3, or do you think it's like, how do you think that works?
Well, considering PlayStation is not a part of E3, I don't think it's like the Super Bowl.
I don't either.
Because if it was, it would be Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo going head to head.
Yeah, and that's how it used to be.
It used to be that way. Now it's not.
Mm-hmm. I think part of it too is like a lot of these games take so many years to make now. And there's not a rhythm where you're having amazing games come out every year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, I would say Battlefield and Halo probably are the biggest ones that we saw today coming out this year.
Sure. Maybe Far Cry can be thrown in there.
Yeah, I would say that's up there. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know that with E3, they have a lot of other side things now that, like, maybe... like some indie stuff.
A lot of indie games.
That wouldn't have gotten the recognition back in the day, but now it does.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be like Microsoft is incorporating that kind of stuff into their show, or it could be that there's like a separate stream for like indie games, you know, or like PC games that aren't a part of the console wars.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it looks different than it used to. And I don't think it's as much of a Super Bowl as it is like...
a long ad.
A long ad, but lots of ads.
Lots of ads, yeah. Pretty much. All right, we're on our last 5.
Okay.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Age of Empires 4.
I know my wife is really into it.
Yeah. So I've never played it. I'll give it a 3.
She said the other day it might be her favorite game of all time.
Wow. Yeah, I've not played it, so I'm not sure.
But yeah, I'm going to have to give it a higher score just because of... how much he likes it. So I'll probably give it a 7.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Cool. I was surprised to see this next game. The Outer Worlds 2. Did the first game just came out?
It feels like that. But I think it maybe has been like 3 years
at
this point.
That's insane to me.
I know. It's a game I've wanted to play, haven't done so.
Yeah. So they announced the second one. And they... that was a funny trailer because they were talking about how it's like super early stages of development and it's just a silly teaser trailer.
Right. Kind of making fun of how people do it nowadays, you know?
Yep.
I appreciated that.
Yep. So,
but I think The Outer Worlds kind of does that in a sense.
It's goofy.
It's kind of goofier. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll give it a 6.
I'm going to give it a little higher.
I
might give it an 8 because of potential.
Yeah.
I really wanted to play the first game. Haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
So I think I'll like it.
Yeah, people like the first one. I don't know. It looked too much like Fallout to me.
It is, and, well, it's by the Fallout people, but Fallout New Vegas.
Yep, exactly.
So if you like that.
I didn't. You didn't like it? I played it a bunch. I really didn't like it, if I'm being honest. I don't know. I didn't. I just didn't like
it. That's okay.
I didn't like the gameplay. I didn't like how it felt. I didn't. It was so difficult to aim in that game and to shoot. And Y was jump. That's terrible. Like, it was just not a good game, in my opinion. I played it. I tried it.
At least you tried.
Yeah, it's not a zero. It's probably just like a two.
Okay.
So, no. Outer Worlds 2, like I said, I'll give it a five. Flight Simulator.
I think it looks really cool.
It does look cool.
Even like though there's planes. Not, like, I'm sure there's a lot to flying a plane.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem like there's a lot to the gameplay of it.
Yeah.
You know?
No,
you
it's just,
you fly.
You take off, you sit there, and you land. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you have to, like, make sure you're managing the airplane controls and things like that.
Yeah. Make sure you lock the cabin door.
Right? So you don't get sucked out.
I was saying, some people can't break into the cabin.
Oh. Yeah. That's important, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think the cool thing about that game is how realistic it looks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're really just going for those really nice graphics.
Yep.
Yep, so if they had that in VR, that'd be awesome.
And now this next game. Oh, rating?
Five.
Five? All right. Five. Yeah, five is a good rating for that.
Yep.
This next game, Forza Horizon 5. I think this had the best graphics, as usually racing games do, out of all the games they showed. Looks pretty nice.
Okay. It did.
I've only played
nice.
One Horizon game before, and it was fun. I'm not super into the racing games, but it's fun. You know, if you're really bored, it is kind of fun to just drive around and look at the different cars.
Sure.
But
yeah, I've never been a big car guy.
Yeah.
But I can see the appeal in driving through different environments and racing people and kind of feeling free.
Yeah. Right? I'll give it a six.
I'll give it a four.
All right. And I believe, maybe they had a couple games that they showed, but with that game, they talked a lot about it. There was, like, that one guy that kept talking, and he was, like, showing more gameplay. Like, that's the kind of game that I'm used to at E3.
Yes.
Where they have the trailer, and then they talk about it, and they give you, like, more in-depth scoop about what to expect.
Right.
But with a lot of these games, it just went one trailer to the next, and you're like, I don't know. Some of them had release dates. Some of them had a year date that they were going to be released in, but it's like, I don't know anything to expect.
Right. Well, I think the good thing that guy did with the Forza game is when he was presenting it, it's like, hey, this is what you're going to get. Like, it's really cool. There's all these different things you can do. You're going to enjoy this game. And it answered people's questions rather than brought up more questions. Mm-hmm. But with the other games, it's just like, oh, I don't know anything about this. I have lots of questions, but since I didn't really learn anything, I might just forget about this.
Yeah, I mean, like the ones that we gave a zero, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to think about it. It doesn't stick in my mind. That game might come out and I miss it completely.
Right.
So from an advertising perspective, I think you need to have more than just the trailer. Or the trailer has to leave an impression.
Right.
And so, with that, there's one final game from Bethesda. So they started the show and they ended the show. This was a new game called Redfall.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like Redfall. A vampire shooter.
You have, like, your little squad, right? There's, like, four or five of you, including a robot and a parrot.
At first, I thought it was going to be, I was, like, a little robot. At first, I was thinking it was going to be a battle royale. Because I saw, like, all these different characters, and I thought maybe it was going to be, like, Apex, where they had specific characters. But then it doesn't seem like it was. Like it was like that.
Yeah, it's one of the games that you saw a little bit of the trailer, like, the idea of what the game's going to be.
Yep.
But you still don't really know what the game is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know if it's a first-person shooter, a third-person shooter, or if it's something different.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
No.
But I kind of want to focus in on Bethesda for 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that game. What was that called again? That was
the one we just announced?
The one we just talked
Redfall.
About. Redfall. There was Redfall. there was Starfield, mm-hmm. and then there was Elder Scrolls Online and Fallout 76, and that was it.
Yep.
So like half of the games that they talked about were DLCs or expansions,
mm-hmm.
and then two new games. But that, for Bethesda, Bethesda used to have their own show.
Yep.
That would last like an hour,
mm-hmm.
and they would talk about lots of different stuff. So that just seemed like really a letdown, and yeah. they probably didn't even need to have it be like the Microsoft, Xbox, and Bethesda show.
I wonder if they combined them. I mean, my first impression is that they combined it because it's one company now. You know, Microsoft owns Bethesda.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. Either they cut a lot of stuff, or it's like Bethesda didn't have things to talk about, and that's why they combined them.
But see, the thing is about Bethesda is usually they have a lot to talk mm-hmm. about, like lots of different games that, and you're looking for like the Starfield, like, oh, talk about Starfield, please. Or you're looking for them to talk about Elder Scrolls, and they don't.
Yeah.
They talk about all these other things. So the fact that they, it seemed to me like they didn't really talk about much at all. Mm-hmm. It could have been like, oh, the Xbox show. And by the way, we'll have Bethesda stuff in here because we own Bethesda now, too.
Yeah.
But maybe they made it the like the Xbox and Bethesda show just to bring in those Bethesda fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you know, Bethesda stuff's going to be here, and we're putting their name next to ours, so you're going to want to see this.
Yep. But
I don't know. For me as a Bethesda fan, yeah. I was let down.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Especially since the games are Xbox exclusives. Like,
mm-hmm.
as a PlayStation person, it makes me sad. I don't yeah. like seeing that.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Eh, it's okay.
Sorry, Josh. Maybe one of our listeners will be very generous and get you an Xbox.
I know. We need, like, a Patreon or something.
Uh-huh. Something.
Something where people can give us money.
So, overall rating. I think I asked you this at the beginning. Let's see if your rating changed.
Right.
0 to 10 of the show. What'd you go with?
I think I gave it a 5 before.
I think I gave it a 5.
But so did I? Oh, I gave it a 6. Yeah. So, after talking about it.
Is it worse?
I think it's probably depressed me even more so.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it a 6.
All right, I'm going down to 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess so. E3 is not done. Like,
no, it's not. E3 no, we're just talking about one show right now. Just one right. showcase. But it's typically the biggest one. At least for me, being an Xbox guy.
Right.
But,
usually the PlayStation one is the biggest one for me.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even doing that.
Yeah.
They're doing their own thing this yep. year. At least that's the word on the street. They normally do their own thing.
Yeah.
They've started to do it more like Nintendo does theirs. Mm-hmm. Nintendo will have these Nintendo Directs, which is just like this video that they've
yeah.
produced, which is kind of like what Microsoft had today mm-hmm. in a way, because there was no crowd, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what Sony's going to talk about, but I'm interested in that.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
So, I think that about wraps that up.
That, I think, yeah, I think it does.
All right, well, good conversation. I appreciate that. Should we move on to topic 2?
I think we should.
All right.
And this, it seems maybe like these topics have nothing to do with each other, but I think they do. Okay?
All right.
Because we are both technically fathers
yes,
now, right?
Yes, it's true. Yep. I'm going to be a dad of a birthed human this December.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I have a son who's 2.5.
Wow.
And I have an unborn son who will be born at the end of July, which is like a month and a half from now.
What if you guys have the same birthday?
That'd be awesome. July 28th.
Now everybody
It could
knows.
Happen. I know. They're going to track me down.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think the two topics are related because we are both fathers and we play video games.
Yep.
So I guess one of the questions that I have is, as a father, how do you manage being a father and being a gamer simultaneously?
Right. Let's dive in. All right. You're dad, I'm not. You start.
Okay. Here's what you got to do. Okay. This is for all the dads out there. You take care of your dad things first. When the baby goes to bed, you whip out the games.
Mm.
You
right.
play as much as possible.
Yep. As quickly as possible.
Yeah, you don't take your time. Yeah, there's no exploring the dungeon.
No.
You go right
no.
to your
You're like,
destination.
Right to the boss.
Right. And then your wife is yelling at you like, hey, spend time with me. And you're like, honey.
You're not a video game.
Yeah. You're like, honey, I can't. I have other things to take care of.
Mm-hmm. You got to save the world.
Got to save
the world. Is that not enough for her?
It should be.
It should be. Saving the world. You would think
she would appreciate that and be like, oh, look at my husband go.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They don't respond that way.
No, look at all his medals and his trophies.
Right.
And achievements. Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, moving away from video games now, just talking about fatherhood in general, how do you feel now
There's a lot of aspects about it. I keep saying this to everybody because it's true. It doesn't feel real yet.
Right.
Right? Like,
right.
I know it's true. I know it's going to happen soon. But it hasn't happened yet, you know? It's like kind of like when you get engaged. It's like, the wedding's coming. Like, I know my life is going to change soon.
Yes.
You know, you're engaged now. So you're like, you're in a new phase, but you're kind of like in this interim where you're not single without kids and you're not, you don't have kids, but the kid's coming.
Right, right.
So I don't know. I'm, at first, I wasn't very excited about it. I'll be honest. It was kind of like, I think shock first. I wouldn't say denial, but shock. And then it's like, as the days go, it's like, you kind of swallow that, like, hey, this is real. And I'm looking forward to it now, I'd say.
Okay, I'm not, that's good.
I know it's going to be a lot of work.
Sure.
But I'm looking forward to it.
I think right now, because I remember being in that stage, right now it's more of this abstract thing. Like, oh yeah, I'm a dad, but there's nothing I can really do about that. You know, like, I can't do anything for the baby. You can, like, rub the belly, I guess, right now. Or you could, like, talk into the belly, but it feels weird. It feels like you're just, like...
Why would I rub my belly?
Because you're getting fatter. All this sympathy weight.
Sympathy weight. Sympathy fudge.
Sympathy fudge. I just had some fudge last night from Mackinac. Yeah. It was good.
Nice.
Yeah, I brought home some good stuff.
We got Mackinac. No, we didn't get Mackinac. We got fudge when we went down to Florida.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah, that's good. Which is good.
But yeah, the day your child is born, I think one of two things is going to happen. Either you
it's
are
going to be really great or not.
Well, either you're going to be in denial still, where you're like, "Oh, there's
that's
a
not my
baby,
child,
but
that's not my kid.
Is it really my kid?" Like, that's going to happen. And again, that you're going to be in kind of a shock, or it's going to hit you hard. Like, this is my child, and
I'm
gonna
lose
dad,
it.
And you're just going to be like holding that
baby. My eyes
and,
out.
Yeah, like, I feel like knowing you, that is probably how it's going to be.
What is that supposed to mean?
You are a strong man, okay? You are a very strong man.
Emotionally,
you lose it sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah, so it'll be a good day for you no matter what. Even if it's hectic, it still is, like, worth it in the end. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to know, is, like, are there any questions that you have about, like, what the process usually looks like? Or if it's, like... You know, is there anything you need to do
I don't
to
know.
Prepare for it?
I don't know what to ask. I've not done this before.
Yeah.
What if it's ugly?
I mean, what if it's ugly? It will be ugly.
Oh,
there's
great.
No getting around it. It's going to come out and you're going to be like, that's a human? Like, you're going to be holding it up over your head for the aliens to, like, beam it back into your ship?
Gosh.
At least that's how I thought about it. Because their faces are, like, really scrunched up like a little raisin.
Yeah.
And, they have, like, weird liquids on them.
Good.
And things like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they don't look like a human. Mm-hmm. But you give it a little bit of time and they
grow some teeth.
Wow, that actually takes some time. So, yeah, at first you're like, hey, they have no teeth. That's weird. And then you get used to them having no teeth. So when a tooth shows up, you're like,
this is
a weird thing. I'm looking at a tooth. But, I mean, it's... I would have to say, it's... fun. It's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard work.
Yeah.
It's rewarding. Now that my son is 2.5, we have a lot of fun together. Like, it's an honest relationship between us where he knows what to expect from me as his dad, and I know what to expect from him as my son, and it's just, I don't know, he's got a good sense of humor. Mm-hmm. We joke around a lot. Like, you like can't know what it's like until you're in that position.
Yeah. All right. So I'm putting you on the spot here then.
Do it.
Josh's 5 tips for fatherhood. Go.
Okay.
Number 5.
Are these in order from like the most
they
important?
Can't be.
I don't think I can.
But no,
that's
cool.
I don't
five
even
tips.
Have 5 yet.
Five
I'm coming
tips.
Up with these off the top of my head.
Five tips.
Okay.
They can be short. They can be long. They can be extravagant. They can be simple. Five tips.
The first tip for being a dad is expect to do the wrong thing all the time.
Good.
Because you, as the dad, really have no clue the best way to take care of a baby, but your wife does. She just has this natural thing about her where she knows what to do, so you think you're doing what's best. So let her do all the
work. Is that what I'm getting?
No, that'll be my next tip, I think, how you don't want to do that. So expect to make a lot of mistakes and expect for your wife to be like, hey, you're doing it wrong. Do it this way. And then you're like, oh, okay. And you learn and you grow over time. And I feel like with baby number two coming, I'll be more prepared than I was the first time. I'll do things better than I did the first time. So tip number one, just get ready to do a lot of bad things.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
Number four.
Do as much of it as you can yourself. Even though you're going to make those mistakes, do as much of it as you can yourself. If you put it all on your wife to do those things, she's going to be really tired and stressed. She already has enough on her plate, breastfeeding, and she's kind of managing the baby and managing the father at the same time. You know, so the more you can put on your plate and take off of hers, the easier it's going to be for everybody. So yeah, just take as much of it upon yourself as you can.
Perfect.
And give her rest. She needs it.
Number three.
Before we go to number four. Think about it like this. For like, what, 9 or 10 months, she's been like in a constant state of pain and suffering and struggle.
Agony.
She needs like an extra 9 or 10 months to recover from that. So now number three. Let's see. I feel like I'm going to have to address something that I haven't had to go through yet. And that would be that your kid is going to be changing over time to the point where they get to, like, you know,
adulthood, their preteen at some point.
Years, teen years, adulthood. And I think I have to be ready for this, and you'll have to be ready for this, for your kids to get to that point where they don't really need you as much. You know, and I think as the dad, I'll be more ready for that than my wife will be. But just the idea that, like, the little baby that you raised, that you took care of, that you had fun with, that you played games with,
doesn't exist anymore.
Kind of, right? They grow into this person who's independent and hopefully responsible. And you just have to accept the idea that you're not really needed. But that's your goal, too, as a dad. You don't want them to need you all the time. Mm-hmm. If you can raise them to be an independent person who loves you because you were a good father but doesn't need you, then I think you've done your job.
Perfect.
So just, like, be ready for that.
All right. So recap real quick. Number five.
I got to think back.
Actually, it's a pop quiz. Number five. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. Number four. Make the mistakes.
Make the mistakes and do as much as you can.
Number three. Get ready that the child's going to grow up.
Yeah.
Number two.
Okay, number two, I think managing frustration is a big thing. I'm the kind of guy who doesn't get frustrated very easily. I don't really show a lot of anger in general, but I do remember times when Elijah was young where I just I could feel the frustration coming on. Maybe he was like crying and wouldn't stop. And I was trying to get something done and he was crying and I'm trying to help him and do all these things at once. And I could just feel like, oh, I can't believe this is happening right now. Just trying to manage that the best you can is a good idea.
How would you do it?
I think what I would do is I'd have to calm down for a second and kind of get into my own head and say, this is only a moment in this child's life, this is only a moment in my life, and I need to do what's best for my kid. And in this moment, it's not to get angry, right? It's to just try to bring peace to yourself in whatever way you do that. Whether it's, like, we're Christians, right? So whether it's praying in that moment, or it's just saying Jesus' name in that moment, or it's just picking up your child and, like,
tossing them out the window.
Make sure you open the window first.
Yep. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to bring peace to yourself, yep, because then you can kind of continue on with a better attitude. Some people are not good at managing that, mm-hmm, right? So they're going to do stupid things. So just make sure you're good with that. That would be my number two.
Excellent. And final, number one.
Okay. Number one. I think number one is get ready to have more kids.
Okay.
I think because, yeah, because you're trying always to
always.
You never know how many kids you're going to have. Never stop. Yep. With your first kid, you're so focused on making sure you do everything right. You make all these mistakes, but you're learning through the process. By the time you're ready to have a second kid, you know a lot more. And you're like, okay, I think we can manage this. And then I don't know how many kids you want to have. I don't want to have a ton of kids. I'm thinking three at most.
30 at least.
30? Yeah, you seem like the kind of guy who wants 30 kids. Like a rabbit or something like that.
Like a rabbit.
But yeah, I mean, just, I don't know. I would say have the mindset of like, oh, this, even though this child is difficult to raise, you know, it's a lot of hard work. Keep in mind that like having siblings is a good idea. And be ready to, you know, to do all that. Are they laughing up there? Do you hear them?
Are they laughing at us? Yeah, I do hear some. I think our wives are laughing at us right now.
I can't believe it.
I know.
They're listening to our conversation thinking those fools.
Yeah. That's not what I would tell them.
Horrible, right?
They don't do anything right. They should let us take care of everything. Right.
But yeah, I mean.
And yeah, I don't want to have any more kids.
This last piece of advice I give, it's not really, I don't know, is that advice? To just be ready to have more?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to have more.
If you want to have more. I just think having one kid, it's good. But to have a sibling is, I think, important. Because then your child is just so attached to the parents, mm-hmm, and they don't have anyone else to play with. Yeah. Like,
or get in trouble with.
With the gangs and stuff. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. All right. Perfect.
Yeah. Have a couple.
I like that. Anything else to add to this conversation?
Well, yeah, let's talk about one thing.
All right.
Okay. I was thinking about this earlier. You know, as men, we have these expectations on us, right? Like, this is how a man is supposed to act. This is how a dad is supposed to act. Have you ever heard of the phrase toxic masculinity?
I have.
You have. Do you know what it is?
Nope.
No? Okay. It's what it sounds like. It's the idea that masculinity, or at least a portion of masculinity, is
that like
toxic.
Grunting?
Maybe.
Talking like this all the time.
Maybe. I mean, it's kind of the idea that certain parts of masculinity are bad. Like, maybe the idea that men aren't really supposed to cry. Okay? Like, men typically don't cry as much as women.
Typically.
I'm going, typically. I mean, there's, you know,
there's always the
exceptions. Yeah, that's right. But typically the idea is like men are emotionally strong. They don't show their emotions, so they're kind of cut off from crying, and they're cut off from sharing.
They show their emotions in different ways.
In different ways, yeah, that's it. But they don't have the same emotions as women often.
Mm-hmm.
So some people get the idea like, oh, it's toxic for men to act that way. They need to act more like women. That'd be one example. The other example would be like something that may not even be true in most cases, where, you know, like if a woman is walking down the street, men just like will whistle at her, or, you know, like catcall. And people will say like, this is an example of masculinity and it's toxic. Men can't, you know, men aren't supposed to interact with women like that. And I don't think men should interact with women like that, but that's just another idea of like masculinity, bad. So with that being said, what do you think it's supposed to look like as a man becoming a father? Like, how is that father supposed to represent themselves? You know what I'm saying? Like, how are they supposed to carry themselves? How are you going to carry yourself with your wife and your child?
I'm going to break down and just sob, man.
I mean, if that's how you want to walk around.
I'm the exception. I don't know. It hasn't happened yet.
That's a good point. I mean, what do you think? I'm trying to like pick your brain here a little bit and get you thinking about it if you haven't already. But like, what do you think your role as a dad will be that's different than your role as just a husband right now?
Well, I think it's a good place to start where you make sure the kid doesn't die.
Yeah. That's kind of number one.
Number one. Right. Right. Die physically. I think dying spiritually is another terrible thing to happen to your kid. Right? I mean, if you're the father, you're going to be the leader, and you're supposed to be in charge and looking over those aspects of your kid. And like you said earlier, mistakes happen, and mistakes happen frequently and often. Learn from them. I think that learning from your mistakes and lessons like that, that's a good thing to teach and to pass on.
Sure.
Right? Because if you can, as a father, give your kids lessons that you've learned with the hopes that they wouldn't make the same mistakes, or they wouldn't make the same mistakes to the extent that you have, or that they could just avoid them altogether or learn from that, there's a spark of hope there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have that being a father? Hey, I could give my child something that I didn't have when I was a kid that maybe he could use earlier in his life.
All the time. All the time I do, yeah. I'm trying to think of a good example of that. I think for me, my parents, they loved me a lot. They gave me everything I could have wanted and everything that I needed. But I think sometimes there wasn't as much on the responsibility end of it, mm-hmm. right? It wasn't like, if you take care of what you need to do, then you're rewarded in this way. Like, we get to celebrate in this way. It was just kind of the good stuff without the responsibility. Mm-hmm. So with my son, I want to make sure he knows, like, the things that you do matter, and you're rewarded for your good work. And when you do something wrong, there are consequences that come with that. Because that's something that I've struggled with over the years, is like feeling lazy sometimes. And I would just let bad things happen. It's like, well, I couldn't do anything about that, right? Well, no, I could have, like, if I would have tried, like in school. If I didn't do my homework assignments, then I didn't get a good grade. It's like, well, how did I not get a good grade?
D minus.
Because I didn't do my homework assignments. Yeah, D minus, where I felt like a
failure.
It was a success story. I learned a lot mm-hmm. through college, but yeah, I think that's something that I really want to pass on to my son: responsibility, mm-hmm. taking care of things that need to be done.
And do you think that's possible to pass things on?
To pass things on that I didn't learn myself. Mm-hmm. I think so.
I do too.
You just have to be consistent with it. Mm-hmm. I think there's two different aspects. Okay, the first thing that you have to do is you have to say the right things, right? Like, you have to use your words to teach them. But the other thing that you have to do is you have to show them. Mm-hmm. Because if you're teaching them with your words, but you're not doing it yourself, they're going to call that out, and they're going to do what you do, mm-hmm. not what you say.
Would you think it would be better to say the wrong thing and do the right thing? Now, I don't think that happens very often. But do you think that would be better, to say the wrong thing and do the right thing?
Yeah. Biblically, that's better.
Mm-hmm. That's right? True.
Yeah, the one guy who says, oh yeah, I'll take care of it, and then doesn't. Mm-hmm. And then there's a guy that says, I'm not going to do it, but then does. Like, that guy's the guy who's rewarded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
So
while your words do have weight, and you should care about what you say and how you say it, there is something that has more weight, and that is your actions.
Yeah.
Is that safe to say?
I think so. There's that that phrase, actions speak louder than words, mm-hmm. right? I think that holds true for most everything. So, yeah, I want my kids to know responsibility, and I got to show them that, too. Mm-hmm. It's important.
Now, what do you think about creating artificial experiences to teach your child?
Like, you dress up as a burglar. You break the window.
Yeah. Hey, Kier. Hey, kid. Come here, kid.
Right. I got some candy for you, kid. Jump out the window with me.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, like that, right?
I don't think you want to traumatize your kid. But, no, I think if you create an experience, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to make it seem like it's a legitimate thing, though. So they're supposed to believe it? I don't know. Like, that's a different story.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a really good example for what
an artificial experience would be.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I can't think of anything. Well, maybe.
I guess you kind of do that with not allowance, but when kids do chores.
Yes.
And they get compensation for that.
Well, that's not necessarily artificial because you're paying them for the work that they do.
Right. Maybe if you teach them about investing.
That would be artificial.
That would be artificial.
And that could be beneficial.
Sure. Because then they get to reap the rewards of their investments.
Yeah, like, hey, son, give me a dollar today, and I'll give you two. Now, that's kind of like loaning money, though, so you got to be careful.
It has to be investing into something.
Yeah, not loaning money.
No, no.
Now, that would be an artificial thing.
Right, and I think that would be beneficial, but the kid would have to know, like, the thing that you're doing now is like a... It's like a small piece of the real thing, right? Like the real thing is something that you'll experience later on. Oh. You're just kind of getting a hint of it now, a taste of it now. I think there's nothing wrong with that. But you don't want to, like I said, traumatize the kid.
Yeah.
Or you don't want to say like, oh yeah, Santa's, I mean, this is debatable. But Santa's real. I'm going to dress up like Santa and like come down the chimney.
That's lying.
I feel like that's lying, right? That's lying.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to tell our kids about Santa.
Alicia and I have talked about that a lot, and I don't think we've made up our mind, but really? I don't want to lie.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to lie.
I think if you're, I mean, I don't know if I want to throw this card, but I'm going to throw this card. If you're a Christian, I'm not saying you can't, like, say the word Santa, but, yeah, I was a little traumatized when I found out my mom lied to me, right?
Yeah.
And, no, like, it's okay to think that Santa's fun, but... That's not what Christmas is about.
Right.
It's not about Santa Claus. It's about Jesus, right? Like, can we not just have it be about Jesus and get back to that? Like, we can still exchange gifts, right? Because Jesus gave us his gift, himself, you know? Like, we can still do all the same things and have it be about Jesus instead of Santa Claus.
That sounds good to me. I think that's what we'll probably end up doing. I don't know about the rest of my family. They might try to do like, hey, here's a present from Santa. And I'll be like, oh, guys, we're not really doing this.
Yeah, but. Well, you need to prepare your son. It'd be like, if somebody tells you that this is from Santa, you give it back.
Yeah. So he's it's probably a bomb.
Uh-huh.
Hey, here's something. Talking about family, maybe I would throw this in as a bonus piece of advice, but if you're the dad... in the family, and of course your wife is the mom in the family, you guys are the ultimate authority of your kid.
Over so, God?
Well, not over God. He's the ultimate authority over everybody. But over grandparents and other family members. Sometimes, and I'm not trying to say anything bad about my parents or my wife's parents or brothers and sisters,
please
nothing like
that.
Please
like and subscribe.
Please like
mom
and subscribe.
Dad.
Yeah. You'll be the first people to do so. So I'm not trying to say anything bad about my parents or anything. But once in a while, I think this happens across the board, family members can kind of overstep their bounds. Where they'll say, oh, you know, I'll just kind of make this decision for your kid and I'm not going to really ask you about it. Or I'm going to contradict what you say. And that's not okay. Because you're the one who's with that kid every single day, trying to do what's best for them. You have a plan in place to make sure that they get the right information and are raised the right way. So for family members to step in and be like, well, we're just going to do something different, and you have to be okay with that because I'm your parent. Mm-hmm. Nope.
Yep.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
And like if it's a small thing, then you just say, hey, you know what, we're not giving him candy right now. So no, he can't have candy. That's a small example. If it's a big thing, like, I don't know.
No,
grandparents.
Give him a cigarette.
Right. Like, why every time we give you our kid, you're giving him cigarettes? If it's a big thing, it honestly could turn into a, like, we're just not going to bring him over here anymore. If that's what it's going to come down to, that's what it's going to be. Because your number one responsibility at that point is your little family, your wife, your kids, making sure they're okay. But a lot of people fall into the trap of, well, you know, the grandparent has a right to see them. They have a right to make these important decisions in their lives, and they don't. They're just kind of along for the ride with you. And if you have a really good relationship with them, then they're going to know that they're important in your family. But if you don't have a good relationship with them, don't try to force that. Just be like, well, I'm going to do what's best for my kids.
Yeah. That's good. I think, I mean, that's something that we could probably talk maybe in a later episode is boundaries, because that's a huge boundary thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Where, like you said, you think or you are under the impression that certain people have rights in your life, and so you give in. And then you are getting hit for that. You know, you're feeling a consequence because you just have to always give in to this other person.
Right.
You don't have a safe place for yourself to...
Right. And, I mean, if you are putting up with some of that junk, then you get to reap the bad rewards, but you at least know that it's happening to you. Mm-hmm. But when it's your kids could be changed for life if something horrible happens. Mm-hmm. Like if you had an abusive parent and you know what they're like, what they've been capable of in the past,
mm-hmm.
don't leave your child alone with them.
Yeah.
Because you think, well, you know, that hasn't happened in years. Like they've changed. It's mm-hmm. fine. Yeah. That's what you think now. And then like one thing sets them off or something like that. And your kid is traumatized. Mm-hmm. And now you have to reap the consequences of your poor choice to let them be alone with somebody they shouldn't have been alone with. So, I wish it wasn't like that. I wish people didn't have to deal with it, but it's a thing.
No, it's true. Yeah, I mean, it's the way it came into my head is like, I would say most people probably wouldn't leave their kid with a complete stranger, right?
Most.
Is that safe to say? Most.
I'd say most wouldn't. Yes.
And why do you think that would be? What is a reason that you wouldn't leave your kid with a stranger?
Because you don't know them or what they're like.
Right. So you're assuming that they could be a bad influence.
Yes.
Right. So getting back to this whole family thing, it seems that some people think that if you're family, that you can't be a bad influence.
Right.
Or if you are a bad influence, your being family trumps the fact that you're a bad influence.
Right.
Right. If you wouldn't leave your kid with a stranger because there's a chance that they could be a bad influence, why would you leave your kid with a family member that you know is a bad influence, right?
That's a good point. People do it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
It could be because if someone grows up in a setting where they, you know, maybe had abusive parents or were introduced to things they shouldn't have been introduced to at a young age, they grew up in that setting, and it still hasn't, like, clicked in their mind yet that wasn't a good thing for them.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if they've maybe thought, like, oh, yeah, you know what, I didn't really appreciate that when I was a kid. They haven't, like, internalized that as, this is something that needs to be avoided at all costs, and my kids cannot be involved in that. So if you're a parent and you haven't thought about your past and things that have affected you greatly in a negative way, you probably should think about that and find out who the good influences are and who the bad influences are, mm-hmm. and then keep your kids around the good influences. And if they have to be near the bad influences, you have to be there to protect mm-hmm. them.
Yeah. And it's not to say that all family members are terrible, right? No. It's not saying that they can't ever see them. But yeah, I mean, this is coming from a perspective and a context of you're looking out for your child at that point.
Yes. I can honestly say there are certain members in my family who, like, my son, soon to be my two sons, just can't be around by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. There are other members in the family who, yeah, they could absolutely be in their company, and I would trust certain people to even raise the kids if I had to,
mm-hmm.
if I had to let them do that. But you really have to know who those people are, who you can't trust as much,
mm-hmm.
and don't take the chance. If you think, oh, it's going to be good, like, 6 out of 7 days, well, the one day mm-hmm. could make a big difference, so don't do it.
Yeah, it's true. That's good. That's a lot of good things that we just discussed there.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so people too. Hear this, soon-to-be fathers hear this, and take something to heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about a word of encouragement to fathers and to-be fathers before we sign off?
Okay. Fathers out there, soon to be fathers out there, you got this. You can do it. Rely on God. He'll get you through the hard times. Rely on your spouse. They'll help you out. And just know that your kids are going to love you. From the start, they're going to love you, right? Don't screw that up. I think it's easy.
Don't drop them.
Yeah, don't drop them. That's like the first thing, but don't. I know this is supposed to be a word of encouragement, and it is. It is, but I also have to. I have to throw in a don't, right? Mm. Don't be so selfish that you turn your kids against you. Like, just love them the best you can. Mm-hmm. Love them how God loves you. And you'll be fine. And being a father is awesome. So just enjoy the ride. And once your kids are grown up and out of the house, then, hey, you kind of get your life back.
Yeah. But, yep, you can go back to all those video games.
That's right.
Full circle.
E3 2040.
Yep. That's awesome. All right. Well, it's been a great topic, great conversation.
I agree.
Again, I'm your host, Nicholas.
I'm Josh.
And thank you guys for joining in on the conversation today. We will see you next month.
Bye.